This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Luke Lewis, Michael Carayannis, I'm Andrew Moore on ABC Sport, and we're joined in the box. We're just wrapping his much better half and much better referee. That's what you said, Louis. Casey Badger with Gavin Badger, who these days is working community relations with the New South Wales Rugby League referees. We'll get into all of that. Gavin Badger, welcome, mate. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Firstly, do you get nervous watching Casey go around?
No, I don't get nervous. I'm actually excited watching her get out there and do a thing, right? It's a long time coming.
How cool is it that she and Belinda Sharp are refereeing back-to-back today in the NRL?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing for our game, right? Like, the female participation in the game's huge at the moment, and it's continuing to rise. The NRLW is just leaps and bounds and more teams, so it only makes sense that we can, you know, sort of emulate that in the female officiating space as well.
Yeah, there was a listener just writing in before suggesting Casey today was getting a lack of respect from particularly the West Tigers. We're saying, like, the way she handled it, because she said to John Bateman, if they keep talking to me like this, someone will go. Clemmer risked his luck and got sent to the bin. That's good, strong refereeing, is it not?
Sometimes you just have to do that, right?
Yeah.
If you set a standard and you say you're going to do something, you've got to back it up.
Just one more about what happened on the field, and we'll get into all the community work you and the referees are doing, Gav. There were five challenges today. West Tigers won three of them. Canterbury won its first one, lost its second one. As a referee, and you were around when these things started to happen, video rest bunkers and now captain's challenges, are you happy as a referee out in the middle to have something overturned to alleviate any drama, or are you looking on, oh, God, I got that wrong. How do you look at it as a referee?
Well, it doesn't matter when you're in the NRL because it's on the big screen anyway, whether there's a captain's challenge or not, so you know whether you're right or wrong. I never actually got to referee with the captain's challenge, so...
Just after you, wasn't
it? I would have been perfect, though. They wouldn't have won any.
Yeah.
No, I never got that opportunity, but, I look at it now as a fan of the game, and I want them to have the challenge for as long as they can, because the last thing you want to see is a game decided on an error of the referee at the back end, and if they've got that challenge there, it can, you know, the right team... You know, we always want the right team to win.
Now, I'll give you your official title these days after being an elite referee for so long. New South Wales Rugby League Community Football Referees Development Officer. I'd like to see your card.
There's a lot of letters in that. I can't even spell it. So,
what does that mean? What do you do?
So, at the moment, I sort of do a little bit of work in community refereeing. So, actually, I just got back this morning from Tamworth. So I was up at Tamworth on Thursday night, ran a sort of a referee session with some of their up-and-coming referees there. I coach all the referees in the junior development squad, so Harold Matz, SG Ball, Lisa Fiola, Tasha Gale, and our regional areas as well, so the Johns and Daly Cup as well. So I coach all the referees there. And then I also do some work with the second tier, so our New South Wales Cup refs, all the way down to Sydney Shield. So fingers in pies, but I actually love what I do.
Badger, what about, do you have any, I suppose, use your knowledge of the game and watch all these young kids come through as referees? Do you give any recommendations to the NRL of some really good young referees coming through the systems?
I do a little bit of stuff into New South Wales Cup, and then I work with Stu Raper at New South Wales Rugby League, who sort of does more of that. I sort of like to stick at the lower levels and work on being able to influence those young kids.
And how does it work in that system? Like, if you wanted to come in and be an NRL referee and you're working your way through the grades, is it very similar to rugby league? You start off at Harold Matz and SG Ball and work your way up your grades and then get selected to come into NRL program or something like that? How does it work?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It's the same pathway. I know in New South Wales, virtually follows that same program. So you start refereeing grassroots, like you start playing. Everything just happens 15 years later. So you start playing as a 5 or 6 year old, you start refereeing as a 13 to 15 year old. So your progression's later. So most NRL players now will debut at 18, 19. A referee will generally debut around 31, 32. So it's exactly the same into park football, into the junior rep system, into the grade system, into New South Wales Cup, and then with a bit of luck into the NRL.
How is the space of officiating at the grassroots level?
Well, we recruit really well. We churn pretty badly. At the moment, it's around 33% we lose each year. Various factors. When I started refereeing, it wasn't a full-time profession. It was a hobby. If you got to the NRL, you know, it was a bit of money on the side, but it wasn't a full-time job. 2005, we went full-time. So now we have 13-year-olds that take up refereeing to do that as a profession. So if they don't feel they're progressing, they leave. There's also, you know, the obvious one of crowd abuse and stuff like that while we lose them. Yeah, time. Yeah, people are a lot more time poor these days than they were when I started refereeing. So when you start, you've virtually got to give up your whole weekends. And it's all right when you're 13 and 15. It's a bit different when you're 18 and 19, giving up, you know, your Sunday mornings when you want to be out with your mate Saturday. So
And wake up at midday.
Yeah. I won't talk about what I did when I was 18 and 19, but yeah, there's some of the reasons. So, you know, recruiting's not the hardest part. It's the retention. The stats are if we keep them for three, we keep them for 10. So trying to keep them through those first 3 years.
You mentioned, you know, crowd behaviour in terms of junior footy and refs coming through. Is that getting any better, worse? Where are we at with that?
Oh, it's probably worse. And in particular with social media. A lot of our referees, our young referees, you know, start at 13 to 15. And then, you know, they're at school and stuff like that. So even, you know, if they're refereeing in their local competition, then someone will have a crack on social media and stuff like that, and that can create dramas. I'd love for us to be able to play kids' footy with no adults there. I'd love if we just played all the kids' games, filmed them and sent the copies to the parents so they can watch it on film at home.
Isn't that shocking that that's actually a good idea?
As a parent, all you want to do is watch your kids play.
Yeah. It's just because adults ruin kids' sport a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I look at it, especially in officiating, you've got a 13 to 15 year old kid out there running around doing their best. Generally, you know, we take up refereeing because we can't play, but we love the game and we still want to be involved.
It's a bit like journalists.
Commentators.
Yeah, I mean, you've got this, like, you know, I started playing footy when I was 3 years old. I played my first year with Zetland Magpies in the South Sydney comp, and just fell in love with it. You know, I can't remember never being, you know, never loving rugby league. And then I got to a point where I was getting bashed around and was terrible footballer. But I, you know, I had some mates that could play. So, I sort of played in some good footy sides. But I just wanted to stay involved. And I never, ever thought of refereeing. And then I got talked into it by an ex-coach, actually, and loved every minute of it because I could still be involved. And then it was a pathway for me to be at an elite level doing something I love. So, you know, man, we get these kids out there with that ambition and then they go out there. And, you know, as a 15-year-old, you've got a grown adult abusing you because they perceive that you've done something wrong. And I look at that and I think, if I walked into McDonald's and there's a 15-year-old walking behind the counter and they get my order wrong, yeah, I don't turn around and abuse the kid.
No,
right?
But look at social media. You see too many examples of that happening.
You know what I mean? Okay, they got it wrong and I walk out. But, yeah, that can be a massive problem for us.
Yeah, well, my daughter does exactly that job at 15.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff they have to deal with is just not right. Every referee, current or former, I ever ask this question of, because I find it intriguing. Why put yourself through that? Why? Where you are under the microscope. And I wonder now whether there's more pressure on field refereeing or being the bunker official these days, because they're the ones that tend to be criticised the most, the decisions that go through the bunker. But every referee I've ever asked says the same thing. I've got the best seat in the house. And it's almost annoying that you guys are good blokes and good people, men and women, because, you know, part of this job is occasionally you do criticise and you meet all you men and women, you're all really good people, just love footy. But was that it for you? You just best seat in the house, all that stuff?
Yeah, a bit of that. But ego plays a part too, right? When you do something, you want to be the best at it. And to be the best, if you're refereeing in the NRL, there's no bigger beast than that, right? Like, you just saw what happened out there, the atmosphere, how intense it was from players, from fans. Scrutiny from you guys, from media and stuff like that, and, you know, with, you know, TV shows every night, the feels, you know, yeah, a lot of time the easy go is to, you know, let's talk about officiating and where that's at. So, but yeah, it's just about like anything you do, right? If you play golf and you play okay at it, you want to be better and better. If you play rugby league and you're okay, you want to make it to the NRL. It's the same with refereeing. So I looked at it when I took it up. That was my sport.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be the best at it.
Luke Lewis played plenty of first grade, captain a fair bit as well. What were your dealings like with him on the field?
Excellent.
Luke, we'll say excellent. No, actually, you know what? I couldn't even tell you. That's a good sign, right? Like, I couldn't tell you what Luke was like on the field because I never had to really deal with him.
And I was too tired to talk to the referee.
Well, how can we tire you out more?
I can't say anything bad about Luke, actually. I've known Luke for a little while. I'll tell a quick story. My brother-in-law is deaf and he has cerebral palsy. And he actually idolises Luke, and he's actually met Luke a few times. And Luke actually looked after him. They used to live out at Orchard Hills, my in-laws. And he bumped into Luke a few times. And Luke was out, and this was before Luke even knew that he was, you know, my brother-in-law or anything like that. It's actually Casey's brother. And was really, really good to him and looked after him really well. And Sonia, Luke's wife, actually did my house mortgage, so I have to be nice.
Right. But you know, there are two Luke Lewises.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
Now, that is the one I first heard of.
And I've heard some stories.
And I've seen him with people who are perfectly fine, people with disabilities, doesn't matter. He treats everyone the same. He's really amazing in the public. But then you get to know the Luke Lewis in here, where he steals phones and he's 24/7 pranking. And he's a beautiful punish, is how I can best describe him. So there are two very distinct Luke Lewises. Gavitz, respect round, finally, tell us what that means to you, what it means to the referees and what's been happening with all the pledges coming through.
Yeah, the first thing I want to talk about around that is this sort of was a... Respect Round's been around for a couple of years at New South Wales Rugby League, and it was started by a woman by the name of Danielle Cafuti, who recently passed away. Sort of choking up a little bit about it at the minute. She has been was involved in rugby league on the Northern Beaches for a long time in all different, you know, whether it be coach, managing. Started working full-time at New South Wales Rugby League and wanted to make a difference, you know, wanted to do something in the game. And she came up with the Respect Round. And it's not just about respecting referees, it's respecting everyone, you know, the person behind the canteen, the trainer, the ground manager, all that. So it's something that New South Wales Rugby League has really sort of jumped on board and pushed. And a big part of it now is, yeah, respecting referees. So what we ask is it's about just being a decent human being, right? Like, so when you're out of a footy game, you get frustrated and you want to jump up and down, just think about, you know, just have a think before you jump up and down and think how lucky we are to be able to play the game that we love or spectate or watch your kid play. And just have that mindset of, you know, just think before you say something and just be a decent human being.
Well, I noticed the theme is words have power. And even though there's the old sticks and stones, words do have power. Positive words have a huge influence, and so does non-stop negativity or anger.
Yeah, and when we talk about words have power, it's around, you know, like I continue to say about just be a decent human being. We have a lot of issues around racism in junior rugby league as well. We have a lot of issues around homophobia and those things that come up when people say words that they don't even understand that they could really hurt somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of kids these days use words that, you know, can be really hurtful amongst their friends, and it's just... that's just the way they talk to each other. So it's about education as well, and educating that a conversation that you have with your mate using words that are, you know, inappropriate is fine if that's there. But if someone's offended by it, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
That's right. That's right. Well, 6,500 pledges have come through according to the New South Wales Rugby League, taken to committing to a positive environment for rugby league participants this weekend, today and tomorrow. All right, Gav, well done on the work you're doing, mate. And obviously, there still sounds like there's a fair bit to go to get things right, and that's true in society as well. But great to see Casey refereeing so well. Great to see her and Belinda Sharp getting NRL games, standalone referees on the same day. That's never happened before, has it?
I don't think so.
No, that's a rather historic afternoon. And Belinda will be refereeing in 10 minutes from now. Good to see you, Gavin. Thanks for coming.
No, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.